This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. On a Sunday morning, 50 years ago, at a little music festival with an attendance of about 400,000 people, a rock musician played the national anthem. It was revolutionary. When Jimi Hendrix launched into that explosive rendition of the Star-Spangled Banner at Woodstock, it reflected America's division and its unity at the same time. Mark Clegg is an associate professor of musicology at the University of Michigan, and he recently wrote about that moment for The Conversation, and he joins us now. Hi there.
Hi. Great to see you, Lester.
When did you first hear a recording of Hendrix playing the Star-Spangled Banner?
I think probably like most people, I heard it from the Woodstock movie, the documentary film that came out, you know, about 8 months after Woodstock. And I think if it wasn't for that movie, we probably, you know, this wouldn't be the iconic cultural moment that it is.
I think you're right. Hendrix and the Star-Spangled Banner were not exactly expected at Woodstock, you wrote, but you said it wasn't exactly improvisation out of the blue. How did it come about?
Well, they didn't rehearse it for Woodstock. You know, it wasn't on a set list. It was basically a spontaneous inclusion, but it was a song that Hendrix himself had been fooling with for over a year. He started it sort of near Baltimore, Maryland, at Columbia, Maryland. And then I think it in part was because, you know, he became famous with the trio in England. So he, you know, was a more of a kind of blues musician in the United States.
Even though he was from Seattle.
Right, exactly. But then he goes to England, puts the trio together, and I think sort of looks back across the Atlantic Ocean and gains a new perspective. And I think he's really struggling with his own American identity in this song.
It's hard to describe the time unless you were alive then, and I was. You wrote, though, and I thought it was well put, on one side, there was America's youth, outraged by racial injustice and war in Vietnam. On the other side, there was an establishment terrified by the social revolution taking place with new attitudes about sex, drugs, spirituality, racial equality, and communal living. How did Hendrix reflect that in his rendition of the Star-Spangled Banner?
Well, I think when you hear his performance, you're sort of like, it's sort of your mind is blown because you hear all these notes you're not expecting. I mean, all of this improvisatory sort of illustrative sounds that sort of show bombs falling and wails and screams and machine gun fire and explosions. And the tendency is to think, well, this is a real insult to the country. This is a kind of, you know, a blowing up of the national anthem. But if you say the words to yourself while you're listening to his performance, you realize that these are not sort of insults to the anthem. It's not taking it apart. It's actually illustrating. It's portraying the song. Because it's when the words bombs bursting in air and rockets with glare hit, that's when Hendrix goes crazy with these psychedelic improvisations. But it's really in musical imagery, what we call word painting.
You talked about it being controversial at the time, and I think it was for a long time. I mean, I was working at a small station in Illinois in 1986. A college buddy and I were revamping this automated FM station. They called it a rock station, but there was a lot of Barbara Streisand on there, so we were turning it into a real rock station. It was in a small town, signed off at midnight, and signed off with a Star-Spangled Banner. Well, they had some military band playing it. We swapped it out for the Jimi Hendrix version. The general manager blew a fuse,
wow,
demanded that we replace the old version. We refused, thought we were going to get fired over this, but we thought, you know, this is a rock and roll station. You've got to have this version. Do you think the Star-Spangled Banner by Hendrix carries the same cultural weight today as it did as recently as 1988 or 86?
I think it does. I think it survives pretty well, in part because it reflects the kind of tension we have now between sort of an attempt to go back to an imagined past of America, a kind of greatness, and then a sort of a scary future of all sorts of possibilities and different people and a much more sort of inclusive, diverse society. So some of the same tensions that we saw between young and old in the 1969, I think, are pretty present 50 years later.
Yeah, I wonder if there are people, though, that are youth today who actually know about this version of the Star-Spangled Banner because, you know, it's old guys like me who appreciate that, and I don't know that it's commonly known among the youth of today. What do your students tell you?
Yeah, I got into it because I play it in the very first lecture of my History of American Music class. Every year I play this to basically set the question, like, what is this about, and what does it mean to have music that's American? How can it help us figure out who we are as citizens, who we are as a people? And I think you know, the Star Spangled Banner is interesting because Francis Scott Key sort of writes it as a protest in a certain way. I mean, he sees a pretty weak country. You know, Britain is here in the War of 1812 sort of walking all over us, and he wants a strong America. It becomes sort of sacred over time through, I think, military action. But we sort of, in some ways, live up to become the power that Francis Scott Key hoped we would be. But it was still a protest of the time. So for me, Hendrix is doing something that's very much in the tradition of the anthem, sort of what Francis Scott Key did. He changed the words of the tune. What Hendrix is doing is he's changing the music to bring another sort of layer of meaning to it and to give another group of people a sense that this is their anthem too. So I think for many people, you know, they really like the traditional anthem, but I think for others, they find actually more sort of personal affiliation with Hendrix. And I think, you know, young people today really respond to it. Certainly in my class, my students respond to this in a very powerful way, but they don't always know it because you're right, Hendrix is not present for them in the same way it was.
Mark Clegg is an associate professor of musicology at the University of Michigan. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Support for arts and culture coverage comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.